I tell you what, we serve a God that can heal Amy. You know, we do all that we can do. We do all that we can do. But we trust in God for everything else. No matter what the outcome is, God's always stronger than any problem in our lives. Always is. You know, He's always bigger than any mountain that you'll ever try to climb. He's stronger than any storm that this life will take you through. And He won't leave you, and He won't forsake you. You know, something that's one of the greatest hopes that I ever found in Jesus Christ, is that He doesn't leave me. He doesn't throw me away. He takes me and cleans me up sometimes. And sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but the cleaning process can be very painful. It's about like scaling a fish, you know, gutting a fish, you know, cleaning that fish up so you can eat him. Well, I'm sure it's painful for that fish, but it sure tastes good on the other end, doesn't it? You know? Then fish fries, I tell you, they are awesome. They're awesome. That end product is everything. You know, we were singing about the light of God a while ago. And I've preached messages on the light before, but, you know, once you have seen the light, it is required of you to become that light. It is required of you. You know, it's not a suggestion. It's not a multiple choice. It is required of you to be a light to this world, even as Christ was a light to us. You know, there's something about, you know, there's many messages on the light. I had an old preacher friend of mine. I might have told y'all this story before, but he and his grandson were walking through the house, and they were coming into a room that was dark. And so my friend reached up and turned the light switch on. And his grandson, through a small boy's perspective, said, "Look, Papa, the light turned the darkness off." You see, as us being a light in this world, we have the power through Jesus Christ to turn the darkness off. We just got to shine brighter sometimes. You know, you ever seen them three-way bulbs? You know, it got a little bit of light and then a medium light and then a real bright light. Well, you know, sometimes we start out as that little not-so-bright light. But He requires of us to get brighter and brighter. The more knowledge that we have of Him, the brighter the light that we can shed to all of those around. It's just awesome the way that God takes the natural things to reveal the supernatural things that He wants our spirit to understand each and every day. You know, there's a little old short prayer that says, "Dear Jesus, speak to my heart and change my life. In your precious name, amen." That little old prayer right there is just, it can speak volumes to you if you just think about it. Speak to my heart, Lord. First of all, you got to be listening to Him. You got to be listening for Him. You got to understand when His voice is speaking to you. And then change my life. You know, not everybody likes change. I know y'all like change. No, nobody really likes change. We like it nice and smooth, no bumps, no curves, no roughness. Everything just kind of easy going. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not life, is it? There's some bumps and curves and dips and potholes. Like one old boy said, they're paving our road one pothole at a time. Maybe y'all have some roads that resemble that. I know we do. And that's fine, because I tell them, don't fix them too good, because too many people will want to move down here. So. And all the road crews agree with that. Don't fix them too good. You know, I knew a couple from years ago when I first got saved. And this couple met in a sewing factory in Arkansas. And this lady, she sat at a sewing machine, and this man came to work there. She was already there. He came to work there as a maintenance man slash repair man for these sewing machines. Very super smart in little machineries and so forth like that. And he graduated on up into bigger machineries as he grew older. But the very first machine he worked on was his wife's machine, or his soon-to-be wife. And lo and behold, over the next 2 months, it seems like her machine needed to be worked on about every other day. Needless to say, after about 2 months of this, he told her, he said, "We got to quit meeting like this. We're getting married." Never been on a date, never went out, just met at the sewing machine with him fixing her machine. Some 70 years later, we're going to fast forward, 70 years later, they were both 20 years old, had just turned 20. 70 years later, they're 90 years old. They celebrate their 70th anniversary. A short time later, the wife dies. 3 days later, the husband dies. You know, he only had one regret, and he would tell her this. He said, "I only have one regret, that I didn't meet you sooner so I could love you longer." You think about that. Do we feel that same way about our relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we feel that same way? I mean, here's a married couple that are so in love, so devoted to each other. They had 5 children, lived a wonderful life, had their ups and downs. But he told his son the day after his wife died, he said, "Son," he said, "you know," he said, "I just need to go on and be with her because I have no other reason to be here." Total devotion, total commitment, total surrender to each other. As I thought about that story earlier this morning, I wrote down a few notes. So do we feel that same way about Jesus? Because you see, when you really see him, when that light switch comes on, when that light brightens up and all that darkness flees away, when you really see him, then you will really get to know him. When you really see him, you know, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus. Word of God says, you know, that even the demons and devils in hell know Jesus. But do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Do you know him as your healer? Do you know him as your baptizer? Do you know him as the one who is your all in all for everything? He is your complete possession. You see, he's should be the most valuable person in your life. That's who Jesus should be in your lives, because he paid that ultimate price for us. That's why he should be so valuable to you and to have you as you have him. I tell you, when we get to that point, then we will really love him as he loves us. And when you love him as he loves us, I promise you, you will begin to love others as he loves others. Because you will want what he wants. You will love who and what he loves. And I'll tell you, you will hate what he hates. But you see, he only hates sin. He does not hate people. He only hates sin. He loves people. He loves the ones that you don't think are lovable at all. But he loves them, and he asks us to do the same thing. And you will only do that when you totally surrender, when you are totally committed. Because you see, those things have to happen within you. Something has to change on the inside of you to be able to love the unlovable, to be able to teach the unteachable, to be able to put up with those that rub you wrong at every corner. You think about it. Maybe y'all know a few folks that they just rub you wrong. They don't even have to say anything. They can just be in the same room with you. Maybe they rub you wrong. Well, you see, Jesus loves them too. And he loves them with the same love that he loves you. You think about that. So do we really feel that way about Jesus Christ, that we are totally devoted, totally surrendered, totally committed? You see, nothing should take the place of more of Jesus in your life. Nothing. Nothing should take the place of more of Jesus in your life. Because you see, we have not yet arrived. I know I haven't, maybe y'all have, but we have not yet arrived at the fullness of his presence in our life. We have not yet arrived at what he has for each and every one of us. You think about it. You see, salvation, and I'm not putting salvation down because that's where you start. That is the first prerequisite. You can't put number two in place of number one. You got to start first. First is salvation. And then after that, it opens up a whole nother world in the spirit, a whole nother world of thinking, a whole nother world of how you should love. When that salvation is true, I promise you, that's the way you're going to walk. You're going to walk in the ways of the Spirit. You're going to walk in the ways of His love. You're going to see things differently. One of the first messages I ever preached, and I didn't have a license. I didn't have anything. I was at a men's meeting, which I was the director of the men's group, and I preached a message that day, put on your spiritual glasses. Because you are being blinded. You need some glasses on to magnify some things in front of you so that you will really see what God wants you to do. Put on your spiritual glasses. You know, you can look it up later, but over in John 20:20, y'all know about 20/20 vision? You know, I do not have 20/20. All of y'all are fuzzy now. And especially with my left eye, because it's cataract, so, you know, you're really fuzzy with it. But John 20:20, the last part of that verse says, and they saw Jesus. All of a sudden, they had 20/20 vision, and they saw the Savior. You know, there toward the end, they begin to see who he really was. And especially after he was crucified and he came back for that 40 days and he appeared in various places. And they began to understand, maybe not in the fullest, but they began to understand. And in that same chapter there, chapter 20, along about 21 or 22 verse, it says that he breathes upon them. Can you feel that? Whew. Can you feel that breath of God upon you? I'm going to tell you, there's more than just getting saved, okay? There's more. There's more. Can you feel that breath of God? I'm going to tell you what, a very unique experience that you will ever have is being in an altar of prayer. I don't know if y'all have ever had that happen to you before. But it would be as if someone has walked up behind you and either laid a hand upon you or you feel that breath upon your back of your neck or upon your cheek. You'll feel that warmth of his embrace. It is an experience to experience the presence of the Lord God Almighty. It is one thing that you will never, ever forget. But you see, you got to be walking close to him and you got to want to. You got to want to. Nothing should take the place of the more of Jesus in your life. Nothing. Nothing should take that place. He should be first place in our lives at all times. And the reason why I say that is because we put other things in His place. I'm going to run down a little short list here, and there's way more than what I just had a little short list, okay? So if it steps on your toes, well, I wrote this down as I heard it. It's not our possessions. Does that keep Him from being first place? How about our pride? What keeps us from going a little bit deeper with Him? Possessions? Pride? Having a little bit more of the more of Jesus in our lives? A little bit more of His Spirit? A little bit more of His love? A little bit more of His empathy? Because empathy means that He has walked our way. He truly understands. Truly understands. So, is it possessions? Is it pride? How about tradition? Oh my goodness. I know I hit something there. Tradition. Heaven forbid that you should break a 200-year-old tradition. Well, let me tell you something. God's Word is way older than 200 years. Don't let tradition, don't let possession, don't let pride, don't let denominations, don't let these things keep you from the more of Jesus Christ in your life. You see, if you dig a little bit deeper and truly listen with the spiritual ear and see with the spiritual eye on the words of Jesus, you're going to see some more stuff in there that you have never experienced. How much more of the more of Jesus do you want? You see, sometimes you've got to lay aside these things to have that more, because the things that we've been ingrained with as we've been brought up from little bitty folks, sometimes we just look at that and that's just the way it's always been, right? No. It don't necessarily mean that that's the way it's always been. That just necessarily means that somebody has a tradition. They have a denomination. They have a possession. They have pride. How about the fear of what others will think about you if you do something different? That's a real fear. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to be fearing God more than you fear that. You need to be fearing God more than you fear man. Because I'm going to tell you what, men and women and boys and girls in this world is temporary. God is forever. Be careful what you fear or what you put in place of having more of Jesus Christ. Be careful. How about social status? My standing in the community. How about peer pressure? Young folks, old folks. What other people might think about me? Well, see, the older I got, the less I really cared about what other folks thought about me, because if I was following Jesus, I only had to worry about what He thought about me. And as long as I stay in that book and I stay in His Word, I think I'm in pretty good proximity of where He wants me to be. And you will be the same way. You will be the same way. You know, you can take those scriptures and when you boil them all down, they all speak the same thing, and that's God's love for us, His unconditional love for each one of us and how we should live that same way for Him. But you know, Jesus wants you full-time, not part-time. Think about it. He wants you full-time, not part-time. He wants to be first priority and not last resort. He wants full custody, not just weekend visitations. He wants total surrender to do His will. Not to do your will, to do His will. He wants total surrender to that. Total surrender to that is more spiritual than it is physical. Because once you can get things set in the spirit, then the physical is not going to have no control over you. Even Jesus said that the spirit is always willing, right? But the flesh is weak. So if you can build up that spiritual man, then that flesh man won't have a chance. He'll just automatically do what Jesus wants you to do. You won't have any reason to not have the more that Jesus has for each one of us. No reason not to. So the question is, since He died for you, will you live for Him alone? Will you live for Him alone? Now, that's a broad question. Will you live for Him alone? You know, He tells us in there, lest you hate your spouse, your children, mother, father, sister, brother, and you put them ahead of Me, you can't have Me. That's a hard deal. But I'm going to tell you what, if you love Him that way, you're going to love everybody else. And that is the truth. Because then you will have the fullness of His love that will live within you, and then you will get more of Him. You will begin to see the more of God and Jesus Christ in this book. It won't just be words on a piece of paper. It'll be something that comes to live within you. Because regardless of what you think, if you're sold out to Him, He lives in you. He does. I don't know about y'all, but I don't do as I did. I don't see as I saw. I probably still look the same, just older. But I'm going to tell you what, the words that come out of my mouth are not the same. The thoughts that I think are not the same. And that's been 38 years ago. I know where I come from, and I know the change, and Lily knows it too. So you see, salvation is in Him alone. Serving Him is in Him alone. But that salvation is Him alone. It's not in something else. It's not in someone else. It's in Him alone. So you got to keep Him first. And believe me, He knows whether you're keeping Him first or not. You can't hide it from Him. You can hide it from people. You might even hide it from your husband or wife or your kids. But you can't hide it from God. Because He knows everything. He knows right where you are. He got your address, and He knows. Unfortunately, there are things that do get in the way. There's stuff that distracts us, or even worse, makes us completely turn away. Don't let that happen in your heart and in your life. Stay after Him. Stay after the more of God. Make sure that the more of God always lines up with what His Word says. Go after it. You know, the Word of God says what He done for one, He'll do for the next. That's what the Word says, right? It says, do everything that you do as unto the Lord. What part of that do we not get? Everything you do as unto the Lord. Everything. That's keeping Him first when you do everything. You see, when we drift away, when we get distracted, then we come up with an excuse. Y'all know about excuses, don't you? Old preacher friend of mine years ago, been dead for probably 10, 15 years now, he used to tell me, he said, Tommy, you know what an excuse is for not serving God? He said, it's the truth wrapped up in the skin of a lie. It's the truth wrapped up in the skin of a lie. In other words, a lying sausage. You know what an excuse is, right? Most excuses is just another way of saying, I don't want to do that. You think about it. The next time you make an excuse for doing something, and that's not really the reason is you don't want to do it. But you don't say that. You don't say, I don't want to do this because peer pressure, because that might make me look bad. No, I don't want to do this. That's what an excuse is. Now, there are reasons why we do or don't do things. Now, I'm not discounting that. But I'm telling you, most of the time, an excuse is just simply saying, I don't want to do this. So you see, we come up with the excuses for being distracted. We come up with the excuses for being pulled away. We come up with all kinds of stuff. You have to think about it. Y'all got your own excuses. I got mine. Try to do away with all of them because there ain't no excuse for not serving Jesus. There ain't no excuse for not keeping him number one. There ain't no excuse for not going all the way. There's no excuse. No excuse. So what excuse do you give for not having more? Don't have enough time? Working too many hours? Stayed out too late? Uh-oh. So what excuse do you give? What excuse do you have? None of these... You see, none of us have reached that full potential in Him. None of us have reached the full potential of experiencing Him. Did you know that He wants you to experience Him? He loves you. You are His creation. You were created to have fellowship and to worship Him. How much closer can you get? No excuse. There's no excuse. Let's read a little bit. Luke 14. I want to talk to you about some excuses. I'm going to preach you a message. Now I'm going to talk to you about it out of the Word of God. Luke 14. Start down at verse 17. We're not going to read all of this. Luke 14, verse 17. Or verse 16, we'll say it this way. Then Jesus said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Many are invited and few are chosen. Few there be that come. Y'all remember those scriptures? We preached them here last month or so. And sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited. These folks, okay, get the picture. These folks had already been invited. They knew this was going to happen. They knew it. But they came up with an excuse. They knew this was going to happen. Very prominent people were invited to this supper. He said, come, for all things are now ready. Sound like today, don't it? Getting ready. Because I'm going to tell you what, that time's coming and it's just around the corner. That time is coming and it's just around the corner. They already knew ahead of time this time was coming. But they all, with one accord, all of them, with one accord, began to make excuses. But you see, they already knew it was going to happen, but they, can I tell you something? They just didn't want to go. They just didn't want to go. For whatever reason, they didn't want to go. That was the excuse, but they said something else. They didn't say, I don't want to go. They just gave some other reason. But they really meant, we don't want to be there. We don't want to be with you. We don't want to be with your family. We don't want to be there for this occasion. Do we say that to Jesus? Or are we just kidding ourselves? They all began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go see it. I asked you to have me excused. Anybody in here bought a piece of ground without going to look at it first? Come on, give me a break. Y'all don't go buy tractors and trucks and cars and you don't buy nothing without going to look at it, do you? Must have been a really good deal. It's the only excuse I can see. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and going to test them. He already paid the price and he don't even know if they can do the work. Look at that. Boy, you talking about a lame brain excuse. That's amazing. I've always thought that. I've read this parable many, many times. I thought, man, these people think that this ruler was stupid. But I'm going to tell you what, the master is not any far from being stupid. Far from that. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Bring your wife, okay? Bring your wife. No, they just didn't want to come. They said something different, but they just didn't want to do it. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor, the maimed, which is crippled, and the lame and the blind. Bring those in that can't repay you nothing. They don't have anything. And they might be happy to come. They're poor and they're lost and they're undone. But invite them to come. You know something? They will be grateful. They will be grateful. Do you feel that way about Jesus Christ? Or do you make an excuse? Are you grateful for everything that he's done in your life and that you want more of him? Or do we make an excuse? The servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Y'all know the scripture. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. Many have been called, but few are chosen. So he said, look, I want you to go out there to the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in. In other words, go out and grab them by the nape of the neck and drag them in here. Go get them, whatever that it takes. Compel them to come in. Are we doing that? No, we're not. Do we compel people? Do we even ask them? You know, I can tell you that the Spirit of God can compel people without ever putting his hands on them. You're looking at a product of that, because I was faced with that day on that roof. Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? Maybe y'all wasn't confronted that way, but that's the way I understood things. You know, he always talks to us the way we understand. At least he does me. Maybe that's because I'm just hard-headed about it. But I understood that question, and I understood what I needed to do. I understood at that very moment, there was no excuse. I had no excuse. There was nothing I could fall back on. I told Lily for years, I'll come when I get ready. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that Sunday, I was ready. I was ready. I got ready quick. No excuse. No excuse for not having more of God. No excuse for not following God in everything that he has for you. No excuse for not doing his will. No excuse. Still there is room. And then the master said to the servant, go out the highways, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Can I tell you that that is the point for us, church? Is that his house will be filled. His house, not our house, not our barns, not our china cabinets, you know, not our garages, not our tractor shed, you know, not even our pantry. None of that is for that. It's that his house will be filled. Seems impossible, don't it? But everything's possible with him, right? Y'all know that. I ain't got to tell you that scripture. Everything's possible with God. He's just looking for some willing servants. He's just looking for some willing people that'll jump out there and say, okay, Lord, here I am, use me. Do whatever you want with my life, with my heart, with my family, with whatever I have, it is yours. That's it. Keep going. Keep on keeping on. If you will do that, you will certainly get there. You'll hear him say, enter in my good and faithful servant. You will hear those things. But what keeps us from having the more of him right now? Mostly us. Mostly us. Mostly us. That's what keeps us. You know, an old electrician friend of mine, he used to tell me on his jobs, we're running these, you know, $10, $20 million jobs, and you had got all this, you got a electrical plans that when you roll them up, the roll is about that thick. And we would run across a problem with what an engineer had done. You know, the voltage didn't match up, or the boxes didn't match up with whatever we were trying, the loads that were trying to be run. And so I would ask him, I said, what you going to do? I'm just superintendent. I don't know all that. I said, what you going to do? And he said, well, I can tell you what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to dwell on the problem. Because we do not deal in problems. We deal in solutions. We deal in salute. We deal in getting the job done. That's what we deal in. We deal in those types of things. Well, see, I can tell you that sin is the problem. And Jesus is the solution. Every day, every way, every time. The problem is our will be done. But the solution is his will be done. You see, if we're always looking to get his will done, we won't be making any excuses. Because you see, people that make excuses are just looking not to do something. The people that really want to get it done always find a way. Can I tell you that he is the way? Only through him can we get that done. So that scripture that I gave you first, do everything as unto the Lord that you do. Everything. Everything that you do, do as unto him. Keep him in mind at all times. Every word, every deed, every problem. Don't give an excuse. What we should say when we want to give an excuse, we should say, Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this, Lord. I don't know what to do with this, Lord. Show me, Lord. Take me in your word and show me. Speak to me in that time of prayer. Can I tell you that he'll help you? He's not there to hurt you. He is there to help you. He is there to fill his house through each of you. That's what he's there for. And he will be there for you. Sister Ruth, won't you come play for me? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, I don't want to do this on the cross? Where would we be? Because he could have. He actually said he could have. But he didn't. You know why? He wanted to do the will of the Father. That's why. He could have called down that 10,000 legion of angels and he would have been gone. The will of the Father. How long do you think God will put up with our excuses? Y'all remember that question tomorrow, the next day, next week, when that excuse starts to come out. I know I will after writing this message up. I know I'm going to have to do my own soul searching and my own heart searching. Because you see, I get these messages preached at me before I ever preach them to you. I have to listen to him to be able to just put it down because they say, wow, God, man, that's going to hurt. I say, yeah. Sometimes healing hurts. Let me play a little bit for you. I want you to stand to your feet this morning with me. You know, all you got to do is surrender. And after you surrender everything about you, then God will help you. You see, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do any of it alone. For you in here today that need Jesus as personal Savior, you don't have to do it alone. Jesus will be right there and this church will be with you. For all of us that make an excuse here and there, can I tell you that if we'll just start saying, Lord, you know how I feel about this, so would you help me? Would you show me? I guarantee you, he will. He's a great big God, and believe me, he loves you with an everlasting love. His love will never go away for you, never. Not ever. So if you need Jesus, I want you to come up here right now. Because you never know about tomorrow. Scripture says today's the day, now's the time. If he's going to touch your heart, he's going to touch your heart right now. And you know, it also says that he ain't always going to strive with us. He ain't always going to call at us. He ain't always going to pull at us. All right. Well, church, the number one weapon that we have is prayer. That's the number one weapon. So let's come pray today. Let's come pray for our country. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray. Because I'm going to tell you what, things happen when you pray. God recognizes a fervent prayer. He recognizes that. His ears pick up on it every time, every time. Just like he does the praises of his people. He inhabits that. But he hears those prayers. So come with me this morning, church. Let's pray for a few moments.